Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is recorded in St. Paul's first letter to young pastor Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. These are the words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, before we make application of these words to our lives, I think we have to look at the bigger context. And as we look at the bigger context, we have to realize that there is a very sharp distinction we have to make between God's job and God's work and our job and our work. And so let me say this right up front, that salvation is exclusively the work of our God. Jesus Christ saved us, and that salvation can be described in simply three words: lived, died, rose. Jesus Christ saved us by his perfect life. He lived absolutely righteously under the commandments of God. He never once sinned. Never was there a bad thought, a word, a deed in his life. He lived the life that God would have us all live, but we can't. And so Jesus did it for us, and he has transferred, as if it were, to our credit, his perfect life. So before God the Father, it's our life, even though it was Jesus. So he lived for us. And secondly, Jesus died for us. He took all of our sins and the sins of the whole world upon himself, and he suffered death, he suffered hell, he suffered that excruciating pain in every way, so we never have to undergo hell throughout eternity. So he lived for us, and he died for us, and don't ever forget, he rose for us. If there is no resurrection, your faith is in vain, but Christ rose for our justification. Easter Sunday, what a blessing. That is exclusively the work of God, our salvation. If you are a Christian, it's because God saved you, and then God put into your heart faith in the work, the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So that's God's job. But we are Christians, and we are living in a sinful world, and we are sinful human beings. And so we must strive and contend against sin and temptations and all of those things which would pull us further away from our God. In the verses right before our text, Paul warns Timothy that a lot of people have turned money into God, and that's what they're pursuing, and it's going to destroy them. And then he says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. And so the question, I think, really becomes this for us Christians, and that is this. I am a Christian, thanks be to God, but I still live in a world of temptations. How do I navigate through all of these temptations and sin with my eyes clearly focused on that which is in front of me, and that is eternal life? Even as I was called to eternal life through my baptism, how do I stay focused on that until I enter the mansions of heaven? And that's what I want to talk about today, and I'm going to use an illustration which I hope will help you better figure out how to navigate through the temptations of life. Illustration. I had a really scary experience once in the ocean. My wife and I had our honeymoon in Hawaii, and one day we rented snorkeling equipment, and there was a nice little calm cove, and so we put on our equipment and we were out in this cove looking down at the little fish and all the little weird stuff at the bottom. And we were so mesmerized by all of the beauty of the ocean that we actually swam out of the cove and around a point of land into the ocean, open ocean. And it was okay for a while because we were going with the waves. But then we realized the situation we were in. The waves were high. They were getting harder and faster. And the shore at that point was all rocky with a cliff. There's no way we could get out there. There's only one thing we could do, and that is turn around and swim into the waves and try to get back into that cove. So we turned around. I remember through my goggles, my wife was about 10 feet ahead of me, and then she was about 12 feet ahead of me, and then about 14 feet ahead of me, and then about 16 feet ahead of me. And I really tried to swim as hard as I possibly could. I was just fighting those waves. I was just going to catch up to her. And then I had, have you ever had one of those totally panicky feelings? Adrenaline and everything. I had an absolute panic attack. I thought my wife of 4 days is going to drown, and there's no way I can possibly get to her. And I swam as hard as I possibly could. Well, ultimately, we both made it back into that sheltered cove. She wasn't even winded. She was not aware of anything. And seriously, people, I was the one who was closer to drowning than she was. Why was this? Because she, a Southern California girl, grew up swimming in the ocean. She knew how to swim in the waves. I grew up landlocked. I didn't know how. You see, what would happen is when there was a big wave, she would simply just dive under it, and then she would come up in the smooth water. And me, I was trying to swim right through those waves. They were catching me. They were pulling me back towards that rocky shore. And to me, this is kind of an illustration of the Christian new life in Christ, sanctification. How do you navigate through all of the temptations and trials of this life? Between us and heaven, to which we were called in our baptism, there are all of these waves, and they can catch us, and they can pull us towards destruction, away from where we want to be. I've gotten a chance to look through the books of Timothy, both of the epistles, and to pull out some of these waves which he warns Timothy he can get caught up in, and they can pull him away. And so here are some of these waves. He says, flee the evil desires of youth. You young people, sexual things, these are waves which you're going to confront you, and they're going to try to pull you away from God. How about this? For all of us, including professors and administrators and everybody else, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. You can get caught up in that, and it'll pull you from God. Here's a whole bunch of waves. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure. Have nothing to do with them. Think of the company you keep. They might be waves that are pulling you away from God towards the rocky shore where there is destruction. So what I'm saying is that when these waves of temptation come, you need to simply dive down below them and let them pass over. And then you surface in the calm water. And then you continue your journey with God. What are these calm waters which allow us to clearly see our destination of eternal life? In the verse before our text, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Oh, what calm, tranquil waters for us to pursue our life with Christ. If you think about it, the gospel in word and sacrament, that's so calm. Search the scriptures. In those you will find eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. In the sacraments, do this in remembrance of him. Surround yourself with Christian people. Worship our God together in harmony, in unity, one with another. Hold unswerving to the hope you profess. Consider how you may spur one another on to love and good deeds. This is the way you fight the good fight of faith. This is the way you keep your eye on the goal of eternal life to which you are called in your baptism. And so with the hymn writer and with our epistle, we say, fight the good fight of faith with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. And we pray, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we know that in the rough waters of this life, there are many temptations which would come upon us. We pray that you would be with us, especially at those times, that we might not contend with them in such a way that we get caught up in them and are pulled to destruction. Rather, let them pass over us, and let us rather revel in the joys of the great things that you have for us in this life and in the life to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with the hymn. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.